I'm Brandi Cruz coming up today on Undivided. There's no bigger hypocrite than a blue state governor that sends their children to private school. Plus, a local mom explains the bizarre music lesson that finally drove her to homeschool her kids. And turns out, shock, I know, commies hate elections. And they also hate the press. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here on this unseasonably warm. Is it unseasonably warm? It is summer, after all. Very hot in the Seattle area today. Quite hot. So I'm not going to go outside at all because, you know, I'm just so fair-skinned. And it's good because I have the show with you guys. Then I'll go home and I'll get ready for our live subscriber Q&A tonight happening at 8 p.m. for subscribers on Patreon, Locals, and X. So you can look for a subscriber-only link to drop about an hour before we start that stream. If you haven't filled out your primary ballots, you want some advice on them, feel free to bring your primary ballot to the stream and I will do the best I can. All right, the clock is ticking for governors to opt in to President Donald Trump's really historic efforts to try to help expand school choice across the country. So Washington State has not opted in yet. Shocking. I know that that's just a shock. So here's how the White House describes this program. Again, they're calling it a school choice program beginning January 1st, 2027. It says Americans can reduce their tax burden by contributing to an approved scholarship granting organization. While anyone in America can take advantage of this tax credit next year, families cannot receive a scholarship if their governor blocks their state's participation. So they've just been urging citizens to reach out to their governors who haven't opted in. It says if your governor does opt in, your family may be eligible to benefit from this program and could use the resources to send your child to a new school, pay for private tutoring, or provide other educational support. So this is basically an opportunity for families across America to be able to improve their child's educational outcomes and to be able to get scholarships toward even private school tuition. So it's not a surprise that a lot of blue states are dragging their feet on this. Not all blue states, to be fair, not all blue states. I remember the Colorado governor, Jared Polis, is like, why would I not opt in? It's essentially free money for our state from the federal government. States don't have to come out of pocket at all for this. And so here's a look. This was put together by the Spokesman Review of where all states stand in terms of participation in the program for 2027. So by and large, the red states have opted in and the blue states have not, with some exceptions, as you can see: Colorado, Kansas, North Carolina, Virginia. Those are states with Democratic governors, and they have opted into the program. Because any sane person knows, why would we not help kids improve their educational outcomes? And then you'll see a lot of blue states, one red state. Vermont, I think, is the only red state that has not opted into it so far. But the West Coast doing what the West Coast does. And why is that? Why has Washington, Oregon, and California, just as an example, because that's what we cover the most, not opted into this program? Well, they haven't opted into the program because we know that they and other blue states are beholden to the teachers' unions. I mean, if you look at any of those governors, they get a lot of donations from the teachers' unions, and the teachers' unions don't want an expansion of school choice across the country. Oh my gosh, that would be catastrophic for them. Absolutely catastrophic for them. And so, and they're the true leaders of some of these states. The WEA runs Washington State. It's not Bob Ferguson that runs Washington State. But the hypocrisy here in the states that have not opted in is just overwhelming. Just as an example, with Washington and California, Bob Ferguson and Gavin Newsom. What is something that stands out about these two guys? They send their kids to private school. So here you have two governors who send their children to ritzy private schools because they can afford it. They can afford to do that. And then they keep your children from having a choice. They block opportunities, small opportunities, for your children to pursue the education that might be best for them. That is the height of hypocrisy. And I've said it before. If you're a governor, and frankly, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, I don't care. Even if you're a Republican governor and you're in charge of school choice, and I know this might be un- and you're in charge of education in your state. I know this might be unpopular. I feel like if you have a say in the public education system and in shaping it, you got to send your kids to public school. I feel like it should be required, but especially in blue states where the governors are opposed to school choice for you, but not for themselves, not for their families. Here's Maryland Governor Wes Moore attacking President Trump's new school choice program.
Buried inside that bill is a tax scheme that makes public funding and takes public funding and steers it towards private schools.
Wes Moore went to a private school. Wes Moore's children went to a private school. But he doesn't want your kids to be able to go to a private school. He doesn't want Maryland's kids to be able to go to a private school. You see the pattern that's forming here? Here is Stacey Davis Gates, the Chicago Teachers Union president.
Vouchers will destroy any mention of public schools.
She sends her child to a private school. How does a teachers union president get to send their child to a private school? So they believe, for them, Bob Ferguson, Gavin Newsom, Wes Moore, the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, that for their kid, private school is the best option. For their child, that's where they're going to get the best education. But because they are so politically beholden to the teachers unions, they will not expand those opportunities to other families that can't afford it, that aren't as privileged as Gavin Newsom's children. And these are the people who go out there and preach about your privilege, who go out there and preach about how they want to look out for the poor and people of color. Who do you think that President Trump's program is designed for? President Trump's program and those scholarships are going to focus on lower income families. The Democrats are so full of shit. They are so full of it. Send my kid to a private school, but don't let your child go to a private school. Oh, we help the poor. Oh, no, we can't help the poor if it's helping the poor via President Donald Trump program. Master hypocrites. Meanwhile, what's happening to public schools in those states? They're deteriorating. In Washington state, our enrollment is down. Our test scores are down. The only thing that's really improved or gone up, rather, the only thing that's really gone up is the amount we spend per pupil and the number of kids identifying as gender X. Wow, there you go. That's a great, look at that improvement. We've doubled the number of kids identifying as gender X over the last 8 years, but our test scores are in the toilet. Our enrollment is in the toilet. And we are spending $20,000 per pupil, more than double what we were spending less than 20 years ago, way above and beyond the rate of inflation. And at the same time, what else is happening? Schools are closing because enrollment's down. So what they're trying to do is force kids to prop up failing public schools. The Olympia School District, one of the wokest school districts in the nation. We did an entire documentary on it. What's happening? Oh my gosh, how is this possible? Enrollment's declining. But I thought they were doing such a great job at indoctrinating the future youth of America. And doesn't every parent want their child to go to a school where they're just going to be taught about Pride Month and radical gender ideology and the white kids are going to be told to check their privilege? Turns out not so much, because the Olympia School District Superintendent Patrick Murphy is telling the board of directors enrollment continues to trend downward. There isn't enough money. So it could mean closing some elementary schools. And that's not unique to Olympia. That's happening all over the place. Parents here, even without President Trump's program, are making the very difficult decision to say, hey, even if it costs us extra money, even if one of us has to stay home, we're going to homeschool our kids, we're going to send our kids to private school or whatever it is, because we can't be in that mess. So all the measurements of public school success, Washington is failing at. Yet we have school superintendents here making more than the president of the United States. In this article from Center Square, average K through 12 supervisor director salaries have increased 33% in 5 years. 33% in 5 years. The same with teachers. The same with superintendents, who again, some of them are making like $400,000 a year. No private sector industry could any of this be possible, where you're not meeting all your goals, you're falling way short of them. Imagine if you're working for a company and your revenue's declining. Nobody's using your business anymore. Your customers are in the toilet. And your board of directors are going to give you a 33% raise? Never happen. Will never happen. Only in the private sector. But that explains to you why so many of them are absolutely panicking at President Trump's program. Washington State has, what is it? Carry the three, August, September, October, November, December, 5 months. Governor Bob Ferguson has 5 months to opt into this program. I mentioned that Spokesman Review article, and what they said is that the governor's office is awaiting final release of the program rules before deciding if Washington should join the 29 other states already signed up or if they want to forego the program entirely. Come on, they're not going to opt into the program. They're not going to give Trump, first of all, they're not going to give Trump any sort of victory, right? But they can't go against the teachers union. They can't. That's political suicide for Governor Bob Ferguson. And what does it really impact him? He already sent his kid to private school. And I think one of his last youngest kids is going to graduate from that private school soon anyway. And the amount of money that Washington State, over its beholden, you know, to the teachers union and hates Donald Trump, the estimate from the Democrats for Education Reform says if only 1% of Washingtonians donated under this program, the state could get $24 million in scholarships for students, and that comes, no money from the state is required. And if 30% partake, it could mean $723 million into the pockets of Washington families to help give their kids a better chance at an education. And our governor won't do it because he's owned, it's like a BDSM relationship with the WEA, and they are the dominatrix. He's absolutely owned by them. And at the same time, he knows that for some kids, private school is better. Homeschooling is better because he does it for his own. It's good enough for his kid, but absolutely cannot extend that opportunity to your children. So I would email the governor's office as these months tick down, let him know what it would mean to you for the state to opt into this program, what it would mean for your children, whether that's going to change his mind, I don't know. I think he's increasingly concerned about a challenge from the far left, given what's happening in the Democratic Party in America. So he certainly can't anger the teachers union. But the only thing you can do is try and try to make your voice heard. But speaking of this issue, we talked to a mother. You're going to hear from her coming up next, who explained what the final straw was for her in finally taking four of her kids out of public school in Washington State and making the decision to homeschool them. So we'll have that interview. First, our friends at Valentine Roofing are ready to help you with your laundry list of to-do items during the summer months. But also I'll say, and it's particularly relevant this week, it's hot as hell out, okay? I'm going home. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm blasting our little Costco portable AC unit, and I'm just going to hunker down. But the thing is, if you don't have a properly insulated roof, then you're just like that AC unit is running for nothing. It's just going out. So if you have an AC unit or, you know, AC in your home and it's not keeping up, it might be because your roof isn't properly insulated. So right now they're offering undivided viewers and listeners 10% off if you get a new roof and bundle it with new energy saving insulation, attic insulation. So that's pretty cool. If you're already like, I'm towards the end of my life on my roof, I would take advantage of this opportunity while you can. Call our friends at Valentine Roofing, 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. They also have flexible financing options to help you out with that as well. 206 Roofing, make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. All right, I want to introduce you to Maria Varchetta. She has had four kids in the Edmonds School District, okay? And our kids are all pretty young. And she's decided we can't do it anymore. We are going to take all four of our kids out of the Edmonds School District and we're going to homeschool them. And she'd been having misgivings about the public school education that her kids were getting anyway. But then this was the final straw for her. So her 10-year-old daughter went to music class. There was no warning about this whatsoever. Now, it did happen during Pride Month, and in public schools in Washington, you got to be prepared for anything during Pride Month. It doesn't matter if it's in gym class or music class or science or math. They will fit some sort of pride lesson and agenda in. And so in the music class, and I love this because her daughter came home and like snitched on the music teacher for doing this. In the music class, there was a lesson about pride. Maria told us what the daughter said the lesson entailed. So explain what the lesson entailed.
So my daughter came home and she told me that they were forced to sit through a video. And what she described was a video about Pride history. And I said, explain to me what it was. She said it was a gay man sitting at a table talking with a bear puppet about Pride history that ended up evolving into their fighting for bathroom rights and being able to go into like locker rooms and things like that. And then she said they were forced to watch videos of people in the gay community singing songs. And so my mind immediately went to like drag shows in Bellingham and in schools in like Seattle. Turns out it was like Freddie Mercury from Queen, which, okay, well, that's fine. But then there's one, Lil Nas X, which, yeah, I think is just wildly inappropriate for elementary school kids. And then there was Billy Porter dressed in a ball gown on Sesame Street singing songs. So then she proceeded to tell me the lecture that the music teacher stated, and the music teacher basically told all the kids, you can be whatever you want to be. So she started listing, you can be gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, non-binary, asexual, or two spirits, which I had to look that one up because I'd never heard that one before, and then proceeded to tell them all that they can be whatever they want to be. And then that was essentially the lesson, as all the kids are like. But my big clincher is two things. One, she didn't forewarn and let any of the staff know. So when these little babies come back being told that they can be transgender, there's nobody there to answer questions because nobody knew about it. And the second thing is, legally, they are required to provide advanced written notice to parents to allow them the opportunity to, one, review the curriculum, and then, two, the opportunity to opt out for religious reasons. And we are a very conservative Christian family. So I don't care what you want to identify as on your own private time, but you don't get to teach that kid stuff to my kids. Yeah. And that's just the bottom
line.
And
you had no notice. Like, this was not
the one thing. No, not at all.
Yeah. And look, music class, Pride Month. They're teaching about Queen, music from Queen. Like, maybe I could find in some realm, like, okay, you know, gays are great singers. I'll be honest, they're good performers. But Lil Nas X, he was the guy who had that song where they were like dancing on a strip pole in front of the devil. So this is a Christian family. They should probably be given some advance notice of lessons like this, right? But then she mentioned that video, she said, with the gay guy and the bear puppet. And so her daughter tells her about this. They go scouring the internet to find what this video could have possibly been, find it. Here is the beginning of the video that was shown to, again, sixth grade, was that it? Sixth graders? Is it fifth? I think fifth or sixth graders in a music class in the Edmond School District.
Hey there, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Teddy. Welcome to Queer Kids Stuff.
Today, we're celebrating Pride Month.
We all are part of one big family. Gay means happy. Here at Queer Kid Stuff.
It's June, Teddy.
Yeah, June. What's so special about June, Lindsay?
Well, it's LGBTQ plus Pride Month, Teddy. We've already learned all about what Pride is with a fun new song.
Just when you think that the world's gone wrong,
God.
Shout what you feel inside. It's Pride.
Pride Month has to do with something called the gay rights movement and activism.
Oh, just like when you read that book.
Yeah, we read A is for Activist by Inocente Santoro for one of our Storytime episodes. Activism is all about wanting something to change and then doing something about it.
Okay, so the Women's March was activism?
Yep.
Oh my God.
There are many different forms of activism and many different things that people want to change. Teddy, do you know that I'm an activist?
What?
I'm definitely an activist. And doing this show is a big part of my activism.
This is activism?
Sure is.
Does that make me an activist too?
Definitely. And do you want to know a secret? Just watching and learning from Queer Kid Stuff makes you an activist too.
elementary schoolers. Elementary schoolers. And you see all the hidden threads in there. Oh, gay means happy. Oh, this is great. We're all so cool. And it's cool to be gay and trans and all these things. Music lesson, but also activism. And then she says they read the book A is for Activism, which we've had on the show. And it says a bunch of crazy things about like socialism and communism and all these things. Yeah, they're raising future activists. That's what they're doing. I mean, you can't deny it. That's absolutely insane. Again, you want to play some freaking music from Queen during Pride in a music class? I wouldn't even talk about it on the show, by all means. That doesn't bother me one bit. More of this video talking about trans history.
Back in June of 1969, some of the laws we have now that keep LGBTQ plus people safe hadn't been made yet.
Like marriage equality?
Well, marriage equality is part of it, but that was a pretty recent one. Back then, some people tried to tell LGBTQ plus people that they weren't allowed to meet in places where they felt safe and free to be themselves. One of those places is called the Stonewall Inn. It's actually still around today, right here in New York City.
Oh, Lindsay, I wanna go.
We totally can, Teddy. We all stood up for our rights for marriage equality, which was a huge win for LGBTQ plus people, and now we're all standing up together again for something called bathroom laws, which are really unfair to trans people and trans kids.
It's not cool to treat anyone unfairly.
You're definitely right about that, Teddy.
You have to be kidding me. I mean, absolutely outrageous. And again, you have a Christian family that has to find out because, you know, they've been really smart parents and told their kids, even as young as their kids are, you go to school and any of this stuff comes up or something makes you feel uncomfortable, like you come home and tell me about it. And so this mom, she wouldn't have known about this, that creepy, that bear's going to haunt me in my sleep. You know what? The dude's going to haunt me in my sleep too, frankly, because all that was just creepy. So I had to find out about it from her 10-year-old daughter. So the mom takes it, Maria, she goes to the principal and is basically like, what the hell was this?
Tell me how this curriculum falls within the Washington State music curriculum. And she slides me over like a pre-printed PDF that has like just boxes checked. And it was just like a standard music curriculum. And I looked over it, said nothing about pride, nothing about sexual experiences or attractions, nothing. And I slid it back to her and I said, this does nothing. This has nothing to do with what you're talking about. She goes, well, teachers have the right to decide on whatever curriculum they want to teach. And I go, not when it's this controversial.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't just get to pick this. You need to let parents know what was said so that they can discuss it with them. It's not, I mean, it's about the content, but it's not as much about the content as it is parents' rights to discuss it in whatever they means and fashion. There's a huge Indian and Muslim population that go to our school, a massive. They have the right to talk to their kids about what they saw and answer questions about it. And she's like, well, I don't know if I can do that because it's going to isolate the LGBTQ community and it's going to make people feel like they have the right to opt out of this stuff. And I go, they do. They 100% do.
Parents should be able to opt their child out of literally whatever they want to opt their child out of. And here's one of the crazy things. So when Maria originally contacted the principal about, hey, my daughter says this was what happened in music class. And apparently this is the elementary music teacher. So her other kids were going to take this music lesson as well. And so she had to be like, oh my gosh. And she told other parents, like, you should opt your child out of music this week or whatever it is. So when she first contacted the principal and asked, can I review the curriculum that led to this lesson? The principal, she says, wouldn't send it to her. Said, you have to come review it in person. Didn't want to give her like an email or a PDF or anything. Probably because, you know, it'll end up coming to someone like us and we'll end up doing a story on it. Well, did a story on it anyway, didn't we? It's outrageous. And here's one of the reasons I wanted to, in the context of, you know, what's happening with our public education system. And, you know, if they were mad about public school enrollment going down and test scores going down and all these things, they would take a hard look at what's happening in schools. And it's stuff like this. It really is. And people will tell me on the left, Brandy, these are rare instances. You're just focusing on rare stuff. No, it's not. You know how many emails we get about this stuff? Those are just the parents who email us about it. And for this one mom, who sends her kids to she's going to homeschool them now, Edmond School District. This isn't even the first time she's had some nonsense like stuff like this. interfere with parenting, interfere and mess with her kids. So around the same time, this is all happening. That same 10-year-old daughter, right? 10 years old, you guys. She decides that she's going to take her to the Lynwood Recreation Center, okay? For swimming. And she, I don't even know how to say this. She decides, oh, she's going to join the swim team, right? The 10-year-old daughter is. Daughter's super excited about it. Walks into the women's room. And what do you think that she saw?
So she joined the Lynwood Rec Center swim team, and she wants to be an Olympic swimmer. And so we were at her very first swim meet, not yesterday, but a week ago. And before her first race, I went to go use the women's locker room bathrooms. And I walked in. Now, anybody who goes into, you know, the unwritten rule, you don't look, you know, just keep your eyes straight ahead. That's fine. But all the tiles are cream color. And the shower, there's two private shower stalls. And the shower curtains, if you stretch them completely across, will literally barely cover the opening. And yeah. So naturally, with the gravity of hitting it and the water hitting it, they shrink in like 4 or 5 inches on each side. And I know this because my daughter showers there every single day. And I walked past, and there's a giant dick just in the shower, like a giant penis.
For anybody, an adult, if I walked into a women's changing room and I saw an erect, is what she said, giant, hairy penis, I would be uncomfortable as an adult because you're not expecting it, you know? You go through life and usually you only see a penis as a woman when you decide to see a penis, you know? And at this stage in my life, there's only one man's private area I should be seeing. I shouldn't be out and about and stumble upon someone else's bare penis, especially when I'm with my 10-year-old child, my 10-year-old girl. So Maria explains what happened next.
I've never in my life seen the rec center as packed as it was. There was two swim teams there, hundreds of kids going in and out of the showers. On top of that, there are 7 private family shower rooms you can lock the doors and go into.
Yeah.
And this person was in the women's locker room in the private shower stall. And so I walk out and I literally saw it again because it was just very visible. And I said, excuse me, this is the women's locker room. And he did not say anything. So I have no idea who this person is, just that it's a male. So I left, went to the front desk, told the manager, I said, there is a man showering in the women's locker room. The female older manager comes running around, and then what I can just explain would be like an older mom, like maybe like 50s, comes kind of wandering up. She goes, that's my daughter. And then we all three went to the bathroom, and the manager goes, excuse me, are you confused? This is the woman's locker room. And then he goes, I'm trans. And then the manager goes, she looks at me like, okay, sorry, we didn't know. And then I just sat there like, hindsight, I wish I would have just sat my butt down on the bench, and then every single woman or kid that walked in from there on out until the man left, I'm like, excuse me, sweetie, go tell your daddy and mommy that there's a man showering in here right now. You need to go use a different bathroom. But I was like, so shocked.
Now, just
and
I was like, was this an adult or a child?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't see his face. I just judging by the penis size, but this was not an 8-year-old child. I would believe it, definitely fully through puberty, I would assume 17, 18.
Your reaction as a woman would be any woman's reaction in a locker room, I would hope and I would think, is like, oh, you know, besides the only penis I should be seeing is my husband's.
Right.
You know, 100%. There's no, I'm not putting myself in any situation to see anybody else's genitalia.
Right.
And so it really is this assault. I mean, of your space and your comfort. And so imagine if your 10-year-old daughter had been the one to see that. And that's the issue, is like, are you kidding me? Like, why are we doing this to young girls, especially when there's other options where you can change? Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? Are you going back to that place? Have you pulled your daughter out of swim, or what are the options?
So I immediately emailed the rec center, haven't heard back. I emailed the head of the aquatic center, haven't heard back. I posted my story on two different local Facebook groups. One of them has about 50,000 members, men and women. And I think if I had to kind of give it a percentage, about 78% of the people agreed with me, especially the dads and fathers on there, men on there. I also posted it in one of my local mom only groups that has about 5,000 people on there. And I got ripped to shreds. Like, the amount of moms that defended this man in the locker room was mind-blowing to me. Yeah. Mind-blowing. So the rule is now, I don't think the rec center is going to do anything, but there was a lot of threat comments that came in saying, like, I'm going to call the rec center. I'm like, please do. Because the more awareness is shined on either side, whether they agree or disagree, maybe something will happen. But my daughter is no longer to go into the women's locker room without me. She is to go to a family locker room, which she always tells me she feels really bad at, because there's usually pretty long lines in there. And then a lot of them are, honest to God, families that have younger kids. They all want to go in together, and she'll stand in line. She'll go, Mom, I feel like I'm taking a spot that's not mine because there's families waiting. But like, I don't want to go in there by myself. I'm just one person. I could easily go in the locker rooms. I'm like, honey, unless I'm with you, you're not to go to the locker rooms anymore. Yeah. And so I don't want to like not let her swim, but I go with her every single morning if I can. If not, she's not to use the women's locker room without us.
So here you have the 10-year-old girl who just wants to swim. Her dream is to be an Olympic swimmer. And she's the one who can no longer go in the girls and women's locker room. And she's the one who has to stand in a long line to use a private locker room, private changing area. Because her mom, rightfully so, doesn't want her 10-year-old daughter exposed to a penis. And this is the law in Washington State. That rec center can't do anything about that. And we wonder, I mean, all those stories from her. We wonder why people are pulling their kids out of public school. We wonder why conservative families like that are leaving the state. Are uprooting absolutely everything and leaving, because this stuff isn't rare. And this ideology is such a sickness that it's almost like you don't want to live among it, because you don't want to get sick. You don't want your family to get sick. You don't want your kids to get sick. It is so, and when she said, you know, I posted in a couple places and the moms were the ones, oh, shame on you. It's your fault. What is wrong with these women? These liberal women who are like, yeah, that person with a fully grown penis can be around little girls. What has happened in your mind where you just feel like you have to express this wokeness to such a point where you'd make these little girls go through that? It's just absolutely, it's beyond my comprehension. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about everyone's favorite topic, gas prices. Really high. And Bob Ferguson won't do anything about it, even though he could. First, our friend Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital is having one of his Know Your Risk live webinars coming up this Thursday. This Thursday, July 23rd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. He's going to be talking about a lot of things, but kind of help you make sense of all the headlines that are out there and how that's relevant to the risk associated with your retirement portfolio, especially what's happening in the Middle East, AI, inflation, tech, some of the layoffs that we're seeing in the tech sector, for instance. So join Bulwark Capital, Zach Abraham, for his free Market Blind Spot webinar. Again, that's this Thursday, July 23rd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Have your questions answered. And also, he'll just sort of give you a rundown of how Bulwark Capital is always looking for opportunities to lower your risk, lower your cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. Totally free to join, just virtual, just pop in. Register now, knowyourriskpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to Zach's daily podcast. Find out how to follow him across social media platforms. Again, knowyourriskpodcast.com. And with that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. All right, Republicans in Washington State, Republican lawmakers have tried repeatedly to try to get Governor Bob Ferguson to alleviate some of the gas price increases that we've been seeing. And again, if you're new to this show, on this show, we can be intellectually honest. And we're capable of saying that, yes, gas prices are higher right now because of what Donald Trump has done in Iran. But we also know that especially West Coast blue state gas prices are even higher than the rest of the nation because we have very high gas taxes. And in a state like Washington, we have something called the Climate Commitment Act, which is just a climate grift passed into law by our former governor and championed by him, that doesn't do anything to fight climate change. All it does is increase the cost to heat and cool your home and increase the cost to fill up your car. So this was from a letter that the Washington State Senate Republicans sent to the governor saying that relief simply requires intervention in Olympia through a special legislative session. You have the authority to order. We believe many Washingtonians are desperate for such action. Says, to be clear, our request for a special session does not involve Washington State's gas tax. We can see those dollars at work. What needs to pause are the two state laws that function like hidden fuel taxes while doing nothing to improve the safety of our roads and bridges. We see this as a time of urgency for many poor and working Washingtonians. They are scrimping on other things to pay for gas. They need relief now. You can facilitate that relief. They say, Governor, use your constitutional power to order a special session as soon as possible. Give legislators an opportunity to pause our state's cap and trade law and low carbon fuel mandate so that Washingtonians can afford to put food on the table and get to and from their jobs. Now, he told them to kick rocks, basically. He said, oh, voters upheld the Climate Commitment Act. And that's because they confused the issue. There's literally no way that a red state that or a red county that elected Donald Trump also decided not to repeal the Climate Commitment Act. It was just outrageous. But I've said all along, Bob will never do this. He will never do this. And the reason is very simple. It's not because he thinks the Climate Commitment Act is a good idea. It's because he wants maximum pain for Washingtonians and for Americans ahead of the midterm election. Because most people, and fairly so, will at least in part blame President Trump and therefore the Republican Party. So this is about politics. It's nothing else. Bob Ferguson could absolutely give you relief at the pump today if he wanted to, but he doesn't want you to because he wants you to be suffering as much as possible economically so that you vote against the party that's in power in Washington, D.C. That's really what it comes down to. But then he takes things even a step further, and it's this constant gaslighting. Again, like, is it really that hard? And this is true for so much of the media and frankly, a lot of other political pundits. I mean, you turn on, you know, a conservative, whatever, and they're going to be talking about, oh, the CCA and gas tax and kind of ignoring Trump. No, it's really not that hard to say both things are a factor to what's happening right now. That's just true. But of course, the ideologues can only focus on the side, you know, that they're against. So Bob Ferguson put this out. $342. That's how much a new congressional report shows Washington households have paid in higher gas prices since President Trump started his war in Iran. $342. And I saw that and I reposted it and I was like, okay, Bob, how about you now do the same calculation for how much Jay Inslee's Climate Commitment Act has cost Washington families, not only at the pump, but in their, PSC bills and their energy bills. I was waiting. I was like, oh, he'll put that out, right? Right? Yeah, you're going to do the one, he'll do the other. No, of course not. But our friends at Future 42 did it for him. $700 a year, Bob. That's how much math shows Washington households have paid in higher gas prices since Olympia Democrats passed the Climate Commitment Act. Yeah, $700 a year. And that's been happening for several years now. And it's only going to get worse because the program is designed to make things worse for people who continue to use gas to power their vehicles and anything but clean energy for their homes. So that $700 figure is going to go up exponentially, but Bob will never talk about that. I mean, Governor Inslee even denied for years that it would raise gas prices at all. Of course, we knew he was lying. So where are we at? We're at number three right now in the nation for gas prices. California, which has similar programs to us, highest in the nation at $5.52. Then Hawaii, $5.43, and then us, just above $5 a gallon. Not pleasant, but it's not going to change. And I think Republicans know that when they send a letter like that. They know Bob's not going to do it, but they've got to ask. That's their job. But Bob is the worst, as we've said. I need a shirt that just says Bob is the worst. He really is. All right, coming up next. Wow, this is really shocking news. I know it is. But communists don't want to have free and fair elections. And there's an example in Nicaragua to point out to you. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team are just phenomenal. They've achieved fantastic results for so many Undivided viewers and listeners who have gone through the process of selling their home, whether it's to move out of state or just move elsewhere in the state. And I mean, Wes and his team and their strategy is built for a time like this in the housing market, where you do have a lot of listings going up, a lot of competition. So yours has to be special. It has to stand out. The marketing has to be on point. The staging has to be on point. And yeah, you might have to go the extra mile, make some cosmetic upgrades that'll make your home get the, that'll help you get the most possible value out of your home. And that's what Wes and his team specialize in. So, and what I always hear, the feedback from Undivided viewers and listeners, is how stress-free Wes makes the process for them. And that's hard when you're selling a home, because that's just a stressful process as it is. So go to sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, ask him for a free market analysis just to let you know what the market is doing right now, and him and his team can help you out. And look, talk to a few real estate agents, ask them what they've got going on, what they can offer you, include Wes, and I think you'll end up deciding that Wes and his team are the best choice. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua says, no elections from here on out. This is what commies do. Nicaragua's President Ortega moves to extend his 20-year rule and says no elections anytime soon. Here he is.
No volverán a haber elecciones. Volverán a haber elecciones. Para que por ahí intenten ellos atrapar el gobierno, atrapar el poder.
I mean, no elections, he says, so that they can't try to seize the government and seize power, when, of course, all he's doing is seizing the government and seizing power, and reasonable people know this. It's horrifying to hear the people cheer it on when he says no elections anytime soon. But, you know, when you're living under a socialist dictatorship like that, you kind of do have to cheer him on, or else he'll, you know, kill you. And I do have some experience in Nicaragua. When I was a really young reporter, one of my first big stories, I was a radio reporter at the time, was traveling to Nicaragua. I was like 22 or 23. And they sent me to Nicaragua to find an American who'd been wrongly imprisoned there for political reasons. His name was Jason Perkel. And I remember traveling the country. I had to have security with me. We were going prison to prison trying to find this guy. And he was literally put in prison as part of a larger government scheme to stop a rising political candidate in a beach town from being elected mayor. And so, you know, the dictatorship wanted this guy out of politics. He was riling up the citizens too much, right? About, oh, talks of freedom and stuff. And so just to get this mayoral candidate out of the picture, they concocted this whole criminal scheme around him, claiming that he was a big-time drug trafficker. When in Nicaragua, no one's a bigger drug trafficker than Ortega. But he says he was a big-time drug trafficker. And then Jason Perkel just happened to be living in this beach town. And they claimed, oh, and this guy, this American, he's laundering the money and all this stuff. And so he just got thrown in prison for several years until finally he was released. And so it's just an outrageous situation. But this, as you have the socialist movement on the rise here. And look, you know, the media used to say, oh, conservatives call progressive socialists. And they use socialists to scare people. Well, now they're calling themselves socialists. And so now what is the media saying? Oh, they're calling them communists just to scare people. And then you've got like Hassan Piker celebrating communists. And it's like, no, they are just heading towards communism. The only difference is like they haven't worked up the nerve by and large to kill people yet. Although I would argue, you know, they tried to kill President Trump. They did kill Charlie Kirk. They commit acts of violence all the time. So we're on a little thin line here as to when they finally get the courage just to start murdering people in mass. And that's really the point that we're at. So yeah, you have the Democratic Party giving itself up to socialists and communists, and the timing couldn't be better for Ortega to say, no elections anymore. I'm just going to be the person in power. All right, ICE releasing latest deportation numbers. This from our friend Bill Malusian, who breaks it all down for us. He says, new ICE data reveals the agency has carried out 356,000 deportations so far this year. So it's the fiscal year, technically. So their fiscal year begins early. So it's since October 1st of 2025. He says that averages out to roughly 1,260 per day. ICE currently has 65,000 people in ICE detention, 40,000 of whom, 60%, have criminal convictions or pending criminal charges. 1,200 people they're deporting from the country every single day. And look, this has to be the pace. It has to be. President Trump doesn't have that long left in office. Nothing is guaranteed, although I think Marco Rubio will probably be the next president if J.D. Vance will get out of his way, which I know sounds mean, but... And so you really don't know what the future is going to hold. And this was an unprecedented illegal migration across the southern border. Millions of people poured in. And so, yeah, they've got to be deporting 1,200 a day or more. And so I've really come around on this issue, too, which is, you know, the Democrats will paint all of them as just all innocent people looking for a better life. They're not differentiating between the criminals and the people who came here but have otherwise been law-abiding. So it's like, they won't do it, so why should Trump differentiate either? And the bottom line is, in order to reset the country's immigration policies, and I do think we need to get there, we need to improve the immigration policies dramatically. It shouldn't take, I mean, look, I don't think it should be an easy process to become an American citizen, but some of these people, you know, waiting 10, 20 years, I think that's a little bit outrageous. Some of the costs associated with it, I think, is a little bit outrageous. So you have to have a path to citizenship, the Dreamers, all of that stuff. But I think in order to reset it, you got to send everyone back who especially came recently under Biden, under the Biden administration and open borders. So, yeah, I think that they are well on their way. I want to play this clip quickly from Tom Holman because it kind of broke my heart. We're talking about the rise in left-wing extremism, not only in the United States, but across the world. And a lot of what's happened recently has been driven by this hatred of ICE. I mean, you saw the dude firebombed the federal courthouse in New York a couple days ago when he was like armed with a bunch of, it's just outrageous. So Tom Holman was saying, you know, you guys want to talk about how ICE is so bad. He can't even go out and run simple errands without having security.
You know, guys, ICE agents are mom and dads too. They don't hang their heart on a hook every day to do this job. And it's just not attacking the ICE agents, it's attacking their spouses and children. And no one knows that better than me. I can't even go get a quart of milk at a grocery store without a security detail. Why? Because I'm enforcing laws in this country. It's pathetic and it's disgusting.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, it is pathetic and it is disgusting. And the media is contributing to it. And I'm not saying that you can't be critical of anybody with a badge and a gun who has the power of life and death over individuals and how they exercise that authority. I don't want a police state any more than anyone else. But when you're vilifying them just wholesale for doing much of the same stuff that's been done under every other recent president, Democrat and Republican, that's when you know it's just orange man bad syndrome. Because everything, they don't want ICE to be doing anything. They don't want ICE to even exist. If they could focus their anger on the instances of use of force with ICE or whatever it is, we might be having a different conversation. But when you're vilifying ICE's very existence, nobody can take you seriously. So we had that story yesterday, horrific story on the guy accused of coming here illegally under Biden in 2022, torturing his domestic partner within an inch of her life. Absolutely horrific. Our friend David Rose has another update on a story you probably heard about. So do you remember the story on the news about the horse being thrown around during a high-speed chase? Here's a clip from David Rose's reporting.
Deputies say the truck was stolen in Issaquah. They spotted it on Highway 18 near Auburn. When they turned on the lights and sirens, deputies say the driver started making aggressive lane changes and driving on the shoulder. At one point, the trailer's tire lifted off the ground and then slammed back down, tossing the horse from side to side. Deputies also say the truck crashed into a car. Deputies decided to call off the chase, but as they hung back, they saw the truck take an exit. At that point, deputies say the driver blew through an intersection, hit a curb and a street sign. And when they pulled up, they say the driver was outside the truck, walking away, just trying to act casual. They ordered him to the ground and arrested him. And inside the trailer, they found the 21-year-old horse under heavy stress, sweating profusely, snorting, and stamping its feet. Deputies say the tethered horse had likely fallen during the chase, straining its neck on the rope. Fortunately, deputies say the horse did not have any serious injuries and is doing okay. The suspect is Jorge Arreola, a.k.a. Jorge Mendoza. He admitted to stealing the truck and trailer and said he did it just to get to federal way. He has two prior felony convictions for burglary and theft, as well as six gross misdemeanor convictions. Prosecutors charged him with theft of a motor vehicle, attempt to elude, hit and run, and second-degree animal cruelty.
And turns out he's in the country illegally. David Rose with this update. A spokesperson with ICE says they have no information that Jorge Mario Arreola, who's accused of injuring the 21-year-old horse, is lawfully present in the U.S. Lawfully present, legal term, describing a non-U.S. citizen who has official permission from the U.S. government to live or work in the country. So two prior felonies, six misdemeanors, accused of injuring this horse, stole a vehicle just to get from point A to point B. No evidence he's lawfully present in the United States. That's what happens under sanctuary policies. You give sanctuary to dangerous criminals, and they know that nothing is going to happen to them. All right, we'll get to our subscriber show poll coming up next and some comments from the live stream. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Our friends at RHA can help you out if you're dealing with, oh God, all sorts of nonsense, squatter situation. They can probably give you some advice with that. But also just the ins and outs of trying to be a housing provider in a state like Washington. They can help you with screening and forms, keeping up to date on changing rules and regulations. And then they are your best advocate out there in Olympia and also all year long, taking on legal battles to protect private property rights. So if you'd like to become a member of RHA, wonderful sponsors of our show for several years now, you can become a member for about $260 a month, $260 a year, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. It is Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. All right, I was sitting at home filling out my ballot. I did get my primary ballot in the mail yesterday. And even I sometimes have to defer to the voter guide to try to figure out races that I haven't, you know, been following. And I was like, you know, thinking about it because I'm reading it. And you don't have to be honest about it. You don't. The voter guide isn't fact checked by anyone. I think we've talked about this before. And so I wondered, how much do you rely on the official voter guide to choose candidates? I asked subscribers, do you rely on it a lot, a little, or not at all? Nicole?
I would say a little because I glance at it, but I typically do some, if I don't know anything about it, then I typically will do some Googling.
Yeah, just to make sure they're telling the truth or whatever it is. But there's some like where, I think it was the King County Assessor's race, where I was pretty sure who I was going to pick, but I was reading the other ones and I could tell by the buzzwords. You put a buzzword in there, oh, something about the rich, whatever it is. And one guy had a Bachelor of Arts and I was like, no. Okay. So you can just do a couple things and just decide that's absolutely not it. So sometimes it can be helpful. Let's see what you guys had to say on Patreon, Locals, and X. Somewhat. 71% say somewhat. 13% not at all. Matt said not at all. I use the Stranger's Voter Guide. Whoever they recommend, I vote the opposite. And that actually is, I think, a foolproof method. E said, a lot. I read the voter's guide. I look at the endorsements so I know who not to vote for and read the candidate statements. Then I do research. The guide is exactly that, a guide. Research is the most important part, though. I expected all of you to say not at all. I watch Undivided with Brandi Cruz, but even I don't cover all the races, and so you do need an outside source. Michelle, I follow several different accounts that have done the research on all the candidates. I mark who I prefer based on research, and then I review the voter's pamphlet and make my decision. Tia says, I like to see who endorses the candidate. Weisscastle says, I prefer to pay $5 a month and use the Ask Brandi method. Yes, we do have a live subscriber Q&A tonight. So I'll do my best, but I can't promise that if you have a race in your county that I haven't covered on the show, that I'll be able to give you a good recommendation on it. But let's see. Let me just fit in a couple here from Locals and X. Wagon Urkel says, Brandi, before I became involved in politics, I relied almost exclusively on the voter pamphlet. Busy people trying to live their life don't have time to do real research, so they try to get a feel for candidates through the voter guide. And I think that's fine, especially when it comes to, yes, endorsements. If I ever ran for office, I wouldn't accept any endorsements. Because that's always, I would not take a single endorsement. I wouldn't ask, I wouldn't solicit, and I wouldn't accept any. It wouldn't matter who it is. Because to me,
if Donald Trump endorsed you, no, that's probably a good plan.
Horrible idea. But the reason is like, one, you have to adopt, you're basically adopting that person's reputation, right? Mm-hmm. And anything else with it. And it's always like, oh, well, then it turns out, how many stories? Oh, that person did this. Do you still want their endorsement? Right. It's like, no, I don't need anybody's endorsement, but the endorsement of voters. Because that's always, it's like, I'm going to look at endorsements and use their reputation to judge what her reputation should be. Mm-hmm. Endorsements make no freaking sense to me. I don't like them at all. All right, comments from the live stream.
Other than if they're endorsed by Bob Ferguson
I'll
or...
Take, your endorsement.
Well, any elected anyone in here?
Why is she giggling like that? Why is she still giggling like that?
You would get my full endorsement.
Holy smokes. Okay,
whether you want it or not. But no, I mean, if you see anyone's name from our state, then you know not to vote for that person.
Yeah.
So more so it comes
it's like
in handy
an
occasionally.
Endorsement. Yeah.
Right. So on the clock ticking for Ferguson to help students via the Trump scholarship program, Dark Lily says, wish so much that monies I'm taxed for schools could be used for private school. Kiddo start kindergarten next year, and I'm a bit terrified.
Yeah.
I would be too.
Yeah, depends what school district, but yes. Mike McGill, the teachers union and other unions in Washington state have unfettered influence into politics. Yeah, and people vilify, oh, corporations have too much influence. Okay, but the teachers union can just absolutely boss everyone around and donate as much money as they want. Nobody's going to bat an eyelash.
And the thing is, it works. It works. The school choice works. I know so many, I know people in other states that have it, and it works so well for them. So I don't.
Well, and they tell on themselves with the opposition to it, because right. that one teachers union president, there'll be nothing left of public schools. Wait.
Why
so you give them
that?
The choice and then there'll be nothing left of public schools. Hmm. That is really strange, ma'am. What a strange thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On Pride Lesson, pivoting the Edmund's mom to homeschooling, Lancelot says, thank you. Schooling is so important. We, the parents, need to get radical. Sex education is so inappropriate. I don't think sex education across the board is inappropriate, you know, and yeah, I mean, I think learning a few things while you're growing and feeling new feelings, but parents have to absolutely have a say, know what it's going to be ahead of time and be able to say, my kid's not doing that. But if they want their kid to do it, by all means, it just has to be reasonable, right? Because some of this isn't sex ed. It's like sexual attraction education. It's like, hey, being trans is cool. Sleeping with another guy is cool. Whatever it is. It's like,
They're 10. They don't have to make that decision at 10. From Papa Woody, $5 super chat. When the people hold parasites, I mean politicians, accountable, things will change. Stop paying them for the derelict of duty.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I that video says it all. I mean, he says, you are an activist, or I'm
He's
an activist.
That.
And by you watching this, you're an activist.
He's,
we
yes.
are turning you into activists.
Yes, it couldn't be more. He's saying it.
It's so clear. And that teacher is doing exactly that. I mean, I think that should be a fireable offense. But yeah. I know the teachers union wouldn't allow it.
Julie B., no wonder so many kids are convinced they're gay or whatever. I wonder how long this has been going on. COVID was a blessing in disguise. Parents are pushing for more information and having to instruct their children to report back what's happening in class. This makes me angry. It's such a good point, though. Mm-hmm. One of the best benefits of COVID is it put your child's classroom at your kitchen table. And that's when we started getting as many tips as we do about education is because it opened it up in a way that parents didn't realize this was going on. And then it kept them engaged for those who kept their children in public school to say, well, now I need to know.
Right.
Now I need to know what's happening and I have a right to know. And we're going to expand. We're going to vote yes in November and expand parental rights.
Vote yes.
All right. You want to do Matt?
From Matt. One thing dominant states still... Yeah, dominant state still enforce is a normal gender male female boundaries.
Yeah, right. He said right dominant states, like red states. Governor's calculation about Trump's fuel cost to families, Necro Two Shoes. Meanwhile, Jay Inslee is checks notes complaining about expensive energy costs. I know. And it's like, does he understand?
Go away. Just go away.
I don't know if I want him to go away. He's all still good content.
Well, it's good to us, but the state, not so good.
Dramatically raised energy rates, and he's out there complaining about energy costs under Trump. Mm-hmm. So is he, because I know he's not the brightest bulb, but does he realize that he's doing it and doesn't care because he's manipulating people? Or is he just like, oh, did I do that?
One goal.
Yeah.
One goal, just to, it's not really to do anything about climate change. It's just to trample the other side.
Yeah.
So where are we? Greg, the CCA is the biggest scam in the state. No data, no metrics other than a money grab.
Yeah. On Ortega canceling future elections, Matthew says he's still in power down there. Hell, he was president when I was in high school. Yes, that's the point. Socialists and communists, they just love power and they're never going to give it up. And if they get it here, they'll never give it up. And that's why if I have to choose between socialism and death, I choose to die fighting socialism. I will literally volunteer for a civil war draft against the socialists.
That trip that you took as a reporter for a radio station.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore at all.
No, I had to convince them. That was at Kyra Radio. And I was so young. And we've been covering the Jason Perichel story. And that I had become close to this family. And I convinced them to let me go. And I don't know why they did. Because, like, you're sending a young girl alone, basically, into this foreign nation to go prison to prison and try to find out where he is. And it was wild. I wish there had been, like, a documentary crew with me the whole time, because the stuff we went through down there,
isn't that the trip that you got your Florida phone number from?
Yeah, I have a Florida phone number because I had to get it a different phone. Back then, like, phones didn't work everywhere like they do now, and I realized at the Fort Lauderdale airport on my way to Nicaragua that my phone wasn't going to work, and so now I've had this, like, Fort Lauderdale number my whole, like, career since, and everybody's like, oh, you're from Florida. I'm like, no, I've never lived in Florida.
It's a good story, though.
Yeah, thanks. All right, Nicole, thank you for joining me for comments. We'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, if you're trying to save money, I mean, and who isn't right now with the cost of gas and all these things, reach out to our friends at First Mark. You guys, I've been telling you to do this for years. 11,000 families have done the First Mark Challenge and had their own First Mark Challenge victories. And I never get old. It never gets old with you guys emailing me saying, Brandy, I saved $1,000. Brandy, I saved $2,000. Brandy, I'm saving $200 a month or whatever it is, because you have to have insurance. So why not have a local company on your side going out, finding you the best insurance at the best price? And you barely have to lift a finger, you guys. And every year that goes by, they're out, they're doing it again. Hey, can we save your family money this year? Can we save your family money this year? And so I just can't sing enough praises of First Mark Insurance. Go to firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Before you renew your insurance, let First Mark review it. You have nothing to lose. It doesn't cost you anything to take the First Mark Challenge. What are you waiting for? Your savings could start tomorrow. firstmarkinsurance.com. All right, let's get to our closing sanity check. I think it's so important to platform the voices of people who fled socialism and communism to come to the United States. And none of them are cheering on the rise of socialism in the Democratic Party. And these are the stories that matter. And I just think maybe, especially the younger generation, they haven't been taught about these things. They're so far removed. You know, they don't know how bad what has happened under socialism and communism really was. So this is Rep. Nicole, I'm going to butcher her last name, Maliotakis. She's a Republican congresswoman from New York. Her mom fled Cuba, and she's warning not only America about the threat, but also the press about the threat of what's building on the left.
I don't care what they call themselves, but when you're taking pages out of the playbook of Karl Marx, pushing for abolishing private property rights and seizing the means of production, or Hugo Chavez in packing the Supreme Court, that's what you're going to get. So they can call themselves Democrat socialists, but the reality is that the Communist Caucus, the Commie Caucus, is coming to Congress. And it's going to be a rude awakening if we don't all pay attention. And that includes the press. Think about what's happened in those countries where they've had socialism and communism. The press is the first one to go. When they finally consolidate that power, the media is the first one to go, and it is a state-run media. So it's incumbent upon all of us to get the truth out there about the threats that we are facing as a country with these radical people that want to bring this horrific ideology here.
The Commie Caucus is coming to Congress, she says. And what she said there at the end reminds me of, not to be overly dramatic, but about what's happening to me and Ori Hoffman and Jonathan Cho in Washington State with our press passes. You've got one party in control, a dictatorship basically in Olympia, that says, no, you're not the media, because we're not going to kowtow, we're not going to throw them softballs, and we're going to challenge their narrative. And so they're going to spend $1 million in court fighting us to say, you're not members of the press. This is whispers of what's happening nationally. And she's right. They want state-run media. It's one of the reasons you see Katie Wilson, the socialist mayor of Seattle, scurry away from the press so much, sneak out the back door of press conferences. She prefers state-run media. They all do. So the press might not want to cover it with kid gloves, as it has been. All right, coming up tonight, 8 p.m., I'm going to have a live subscriber Q&A. You can watch it Patreon, Locals, and X. There'll be a link that's posted about an hour before the stream begins, so look out for that. Certainly, if you have questions about your primary ballot, happy to answer those tonight. Otherwise, just bring whatever questions you got, okay? It'll be great, and I'll be inside trying to hide from the sun. At that point, I guess the sun has kind of gone down.
What? Enjoy it. Go get some vitamin D.
Absolutely not. I take a vitamin D pill in the morning. So that's what I do for that. All right. Thank you for being here. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you so much for your support of the show, our mission to give common sense a comeback. I think that mission is going to continue to be important as the socialist takeover happens. If you'd like to support our show for $5 a month, go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and then just click on the banner that says support the show. It's $5 a month. We've never raised the price. I think it's a pretty good deal. And you know what? I think we offer a lot of good content on West Coast and Washington State politics. And we'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.